5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
Just you know why.
Radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, hello, 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 and good evening. And it is the new Panic Room episode 237, would you believe, on 1st of July in probably is still 2021, but who knows? Who knows? We are now, I think we're moving into the after times, you know, the post-COVID sort of era. It was funny, I read an article about the Spanish flu, and I was talking to my kids about this around spaghetti last night, and shortly after the Spanish flu sort of went away, there was a massive baby boom because sort of everybody went out and had sex. So, those are the, you know, after COVID's done, you know, you can go out and have sex with people who are not in your family. So, you know, I think anyone, apparently. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that, I have to say. So we may be doing the show from, you know, me in jail at some point, but I guess it'll be worth it. As long as I don't have to wear the bloody mask, I guess, because I'm sick of it. And to be fair, I haven't washed my mask since COVID started, and it's pretty nasty inside. I think the grime on the inside, I think, acts as sort of a filter. I think any virus is coming through are attacked by the filth inside my little mask. So there you go, it works. But anyway, it's been a couple of weeks because we missed a couple of weeks through one thing or another. But so, and I've missed her. We don't really talk much out of the show, so I'm going to bring her right on. Last week you were ill, and the week before that it was personal circumstances for me. I'm trying to sound mysterious. It was my daughter was going up to Dallas, and I wasn't sure if we were going Thursday night or Friday. And as it happened, it was Friday morning. But there you go. Yeah. But so here, and because it's summer, you know, everything's sort of different. You know, the whole different.
It is.
Some schedule, and you know, my daughter's home from, you know, home from school, and you know, I'm trying to juggle things, and obviously still trying to work, and it's just, you know, I've had a couple of those days where I've got this, because I've been working on a big project. I actually finally got it finished on Wednesday, so this past couple of days, you know, so like yesterday afternoon and today, obviously, and tomorrow I'll be at it. Is you know, you got all these little things that add up. You put it on your to do list. Well, you probably don't, because you don't write anything down. But normal people, we put them on our little to do, and they just build up, and then so. And today it's been one of those days. As fast as I've been getting through them, there's been more coming in. So my list is, I think it's long. There's different things on it, but it's longer than when I started. It's like, what the fuck? Will there ever, I don't think there will ever be a time when I'm just, right, I'm done. I finish everything I need to do. Although, to be fair, if that day ever came, I would panic, because that means that, you know, things have stood still and, oh, shit. Because it's a double-edged sword. You know, I like to say, right, I've got, you know, obviously we're running a business here. You know, I like to say we've got on the books coming up, you know, so I know, okay, with the next X number of months, we've got business coming in, and we're going to, you know, because that's what running a business is all about, apparently.
Right.
You know, so I guess if it ever got to the point where I've actually literally finished everything, nothing else to do, then,
that's, you know, I know, sad.
I've said, you know, the way things are going, you know, when I do shuffle off my mortal coil, you're going to have to put a laptop in the coffin with me, sat and crack on, you know, because there'll still be shit to do, and I'm tapping away from beyond
that's
the grave.
Yeah.
You know, so, and there's another story. We're going to have to write these stories out, you know, because we've got the, you know, the last podcast story. Now we're going to show you a guy who dies, and his workload is such that he has to work from beyond. And you know, let's expand this. It would be a great analogy of the American dream, that you literally, not only do you work yourself to, people can't afford to retire, people can't afford to, you know, stop working till they drop, literally.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, take it the next step. They not only can they have to work from beyond the grave.
They have to.
You know, how wonderful.
What a great story.
I would read that. I would, you know, I could see that being a Twilight Zone episode.
Yes, I like it.
Yeah, but
definitely. You know,
what have you been up to this summer?
I don't know. You know what? We went for a nice drive last week with the Porsche Club of America, which was so much fun. I got like really sunburned, but not as bad as I thought.
Yeah,
definitely. It was so hot out, but it was wonderful. We had a lot of fun. And I took like
excellent.
A bunch of amazing pictures, and there's only
another
thing.
I know you send them all to me. All of them.
I do, yeah. You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
All 45 of them. I have all of them now.
Right.
Thank you.
There's another thing going on Monday, I think, but it's like 8:30 in the morning, and that's like in the middle of the night for me still. So I don't know if we'll make that one.
You should do is instead of going to bed, just go sleep in the car. And then
right, you know, we should do that.
Chris
yeah.
can just drive you, and you wake up and you're there. So it's you know, that will work. I can see that working for you.
Oh, gosh. So, you know, I can't think, you know, because even though it's summertime, you know, we still are working. So it's not like we have off or anything. But the my kid, you know, the 17-year-old, he doesn't have a lot of things going on right now, and so I feel like he's like crazy bored, and that there's this whole, you know, energy of, you know, he needs to get out and do something, and
yeah.
So I don't know, you know, there's
so
that
what,
and
what does he do with these days?
He plays guitar, he reads, he watches, you know, this is the kid. I've sent you his reading list, the books he reads.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah,
it's pretty impressive. And you know, he's taught himself, you know, how to play metal, and he's sounding really good. And then he watches the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So, you know, it's a really weird mix of things. So those are the things that he does. Yeah,
that's awesome.
I don't know. And then, of course, we have baby Misha update. She is doing so great, and pretty soon we're not going to be able to call her little baby Misha anymore because she's getting so big. And
she is getting big. The last picture
like
you sent me, she's getting huge. Yeah.
She is. I mean, I'm like, wow. I mean, she's looking so healthy. And you know, if any of our listeners out there don't know, she's a ball python, and we got her, she was, I think, 2 months old, and now she's probably almost a year, and just going through a growth spurt. She's been eating the last video I sent you of her eating, I did the cool slow-mo. Oh, that turned out so great, how she just snatched it.
Yeah.
It was great. So, that's very exciting. You know, we definitely love our Misha there. We try to spend
brilliant.
A couple hours
gorgeous.
With her every night. Yes, we love her. So.
Yeah. I wish
now
I had time to spend with Mike. Because the problem is, you know, if I got my big snake out, we'd probably eat the dogs. But even get the small, you know, I just don't have time to. You know, I'd love to, because you know, with having the dogs around, the dogs were just trying to eat them. I used to when I first got my Monty. I mean, back in I've had him since 1999. Wow. We used to, because it was me and him. You know, I'd get home from work, sit and just hang with him and. Watch TV and but I was kind of fun
you've
times,
seen the pictures.
Fun times.
I send you pictures often of Misha just sitting with Christian and they're watching TV together, and you know, there's sometimes I'm like, I feel left out over here, you know. she definitely prefers him. I think she tolerates me, but she definitely prefers him.
Oh, don't say that.
Yeah. No, I do, but it's like the whole, you know, like I have a male dog. He prefers me, you know, than the girl dogs. The girl dogs are, you know, Christians. And it's just, I think, that dynamic there. But, yeah, we have our little dogs, and we'll get Misha out. And I don't think they've even noticed. I really don't think they've noticed anything. And sometimes, you know, we'll have her out, and she'll be slithering around, and I'm like, I think she's looking at one of the dogs. I'm like, she's way too small to try to eat them now. But I tell Kristen all the time, I'm like, I think she spotted your dogs. They're going to be a frozen dog pretty soon.
Well, I mean, you've seen pictures of my Burmese, and he would even our. Yeah, because we don't have small dogs anymore, but he'd probably have a go, actually. He'd probably have a go at one of the middle-sized dogs, you know. But a small dog, yeah, we still have a Chihuahua. I used to fantasize about feeding that fucking thing to the snake. Seriously. And then the wife would have come home and said, where's the small dog?
I don't know, yeah.
It's gotta be around here somewhere. What's that? Suspicious-looking bulge in the snake.
Oh God!
I'm sure the two are not related at all. But anywho, we could blather all night. But I'm sure we've got some sort of show going on. I don't know. I could be wrong. I never know. You just organise everything. You know, I'm just the talent. I just turn up when I'm told to. So there's that.
We do, and like I'm so excited because, you know, there are times that you ask me where do I find the guests, and you know sometimes I know, and then there's other times
that
I'm like, you know what?
It's usually the bus depot, I think. You know, you just
yeah. There are times that I'm like, oh gosh, it's you know, and I'll have it written down because I have the book, and then when it comes to you know, I have to confirm the guests. I start looking around, like, okay, do I have it in Messenger? Do I have it in my email? You would think I could, like, you know, write these things down so I would know where to find them, but I so far have not been that smart to do that. So sometimes it's difficult, and then there's other times I'm like, you know. So anyway, my point is, I have two guests tonight that we have not had on the show before, and I'm very excited because it's always fun to talk to people that you know we don't know a whole lot about, and because I love you know getting to know new people and finding new books to read and stuff. So I'm excited.
Brilliant.
But,
who we got on tonight's show?
Yeah, we have two horror authors tonight. We have William Stewart, and then for the next part of our show, we'll have Stephen Bezidlo. I'm hoping I said that right.
That is a great name.
Yeah, Bezidlo.
I'm going to change my name to that. So it's a good one.
Bezidlo,
I think. Well, you can apologize for butchering his name later when he comes on in our second half. But in the meantime, I think you should.
All right. Our first guest of the evening is horror author William Stewart.
Woo! Hello.
Yay.
Hello.
Uh-oh.
Hello.
William,
hello.
Are you there?
Are we there?
Oh, there he is. William, how you doing?
Sorry. I got too excited. I hit the button. My bad. I probably probably hit mute when I was cheering for myself because why wouldn't I do that?
Because why not? Why not? Definitely. So how are you this evening, sir?
I'm a little frazzled. I have two extra kids in my house tonight. Girls who are took them an hour to decide on a movie, and then it took them each an hour extra to take a bath, so we're about 7 hours late into just the evening. And I'm assuming the movie was funny, but yeah, so now I'm in the back room of the house hiding from the children, which is not unusual, but my wife is probably, I'm going to probably come out of there and my wife's going to be like, you left me here with them.
Don't ever. And yes, definitely.
Yeah. So we need to try and keep this show going until they've all gone home, really, or they're all asleep at the least. So it's all, I was doing a radio. I'm sorry, love. You know, but yeah. Or you just sneak out and we'll we'll cover for you, William. You just, you know, you say, oh, he was on the show all night. He really was. So
yeah,
we've got your back. Not a problem. So William's here to talk to us about his book, A Trick of the Light. And I love the tagline. It's got a bit of something for everyone, which is great. Haunted houses, vengeful spirits, and crazed killers are just a few of the things waiting for you in the second collection by William Stewart, which is you. It is indeed. Either that or it's a hell of a coincidence that you're plugging a book by somebody with the same name as you. So could happen. So
right.
tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, well, I like to say I've always been able to string words together, but it wasn't until about 3-ish, 4 years ago. I was really a big fan of the No Sleep podcast, and I don't know if you're familiar with the No Sleep podcast, but it's I drive a lot for work, so I'm basically on the road all the time. So I have to listen. I can't read because when I pick up a book and I start looking at words, there's somebody telling me I should be doing something else. But if I'm in my car and I'm listening, then I can do whatever I want. So I listened to the No Sleep podcast for a long time, and I loved it. And I decided, you know, hey, I'll start writing some stories. Well, there was a few things that happened kind of around the same time. One of the primary voice actors on the show, Jessica McAvoy, started a No Sleep podcast book club, which was designed for people who were on the show to kind of promote their books and, you know, get feedback. But it was also a readers and writers group, and I joined that. And they put out a call for stories. And I wrote a couple of stories. And they were the first real stories that I'd actually ever finished. And I submitted them to the podcast, and they did not get accepted. And that was fine. Except for then I met Jessica at a live event, like, not too long afterwards. And she was like, hey, look, your stories were really good. They just didn't fit our format. So don't quit writing, and the next stuff you write, you know, just listen a little bit closer, see what we're doing, understand how we work, and write to that. So I did, and then of course they didn't pick up those stories either, not immediately anyway. Their backlog is so full for submissions that it takes like 2 years to get a response.
Wow.
So, you know, table that. But I took those original two stories, those first couple stories I'd ever written, and I got my first publication out of it.
Nice.
Which to me was, I mean, again, mind blowing. I'm talking like 5 years in the future now. So I'm like, yeah, this thing just happened. I'm like, no, I was like on the floor, just like, oh my God, I wrote a story and this guy's like asking me for another one, and I don't have another one because I've never written another one. What am I going to do? And so I wrote another one, and so those were my first couple publications, and I did a couple other things, and I you know, it's like I've always kind of wanted to be one of those guys. Like, I was never really impressed with Hollywood. I've never wanted to be famous. I always watched that stuff kind of almost with a tongue-in-cheek sort of look. Like, okay, it's neat, but for me, it's always been about story. Like, I really just care. I would rather be the guy that writes Twilight Zone, right? Like, I don't want to be, like, you get that little taste of, like, oh, people actually like what I do, and so I'll start writing more. So I wrote a bunch of stories, and I submitted them to different publications. Some of them got picked up, and some of them didn't. And on strange advice, I don't remember exactly where, I was under the impression you had to have like a 1,000-page book in order to be properly published on Amazon. So I just wrote a shitload of stories.
Wow.
And then I got told that that's not exactly how that works. So I actually split what would have been a collection into two different ones. And so A Trick of the Light is the second of the two, because the first one kind of revolves around a bunch. It's kind of the stories kind of wrap around each other. They all stand alone, but they all kind of have a central theme, and Trick of the Light did not have that. So I was like, okay, one's themed and one's not. And so, yeah, I like monsters.
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned...
That's a long explanation. I'm sorry.
No, I was hanging on. You know, I had just recently heard of this the No Sleep podcast. I know that my daughter listens to a lot of like the scary stories and the stuff like that. So I guess that would be kind of something similar, but I had never heard of it. And I'm in a couple of the horror groups on Facebook, you know, for books and stuff. And I've been seeing recently that people talk about the No Sleep podcast. And then, of course, you know that the book that everybody's been talking about in the last, like, week or so, right? Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Stolen Tongue.
Yes. Have you read it?
I have not read it, but I'm about to because,
I am not one for the hype, you know, when people start talking about the hype, then, and I'm like, whatever. But everybody is talking about this book that now I put it on my my birthday list. My birthday is this month, so if anybody listening, my birthday is the 11th. So, yeah, that's definitely something that I'm going to have to read just because, you know, especially from the people who are like, books don't scare me, you know, but this one did, and I've seen that so much, so I definitely have to check that out. I don't know.
Go ahead. The No Sleep podcast came off of the No Sleep subreddit, which originally, mm-hmm. like, you know, 12 years ago, the No Sleep was a creepypasta site, so a whole bunch
yes.
of people would just, it was yes. an urban legend. The idea behind the whole thing was that the stories were true, right? And they even still have, I mean, even as big as they are, like, they still have the rules where the story has to read as if it's true. Now, that's kind of where they kind of got their, and I'm talking about the No Sleep subreddit on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where they got their feet in the ground that differentiated, because you could write a scary story, but, you know, Event Horizon,
right.
you like, that's a scary story, but you're not going to sit there and be like, okay, I was there. Like, no, like,
right.
you weren't there. But if you say, oh, you know, mm-hmm. hey, that hotel that fell down in Miami last week, I was there and here's what happened. And you kind of urban legend it. It's like, okay, well, that could be true. I don't know this guy. And so that's how they got their feet under them. But anyway, they're awesome. I've been a writer for them for a while now. I've got a couple books under my belt, and people seem to like what I write. So, and that's fun.
Speaking of the creepypasta thing, I listened to the one about the Russian sleep study. That's what it was, right? The Russian sleep study.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my gosh, I was convinced that was real. I was like, it was so horrific. I was traumatized, but in a good way, you know, the kind of thing that you're just never going to forget. So now I'm super excited now to hear more of a Trick of the Light. Do you have an excerpt to read for us?
I do. Well,
yay!
I will intro this because it's kind of the end of a story. When you asked for excerpts, I was like, okay, well, because I actually write a lot of stories with kind of a strange twist, and so I don't want to give those away. This one doesn't have one. The twist is pretty much told at the beginning. So this story is about a family, just normal family. They're just hanging out at the house. The little girl, the 10-year-old girl, she's just talented at art, and she enters all these contests. And so she wins a contest, and she's awarded this set of pencils, this mm-hmm. kind of magical box. And the first thing she draws is this nasty demon. And so then the excerpt goes from that too. There's a lot of story in between, but here we go. This is, the next day was Saturday, so there was no work or school. Julie and I sat on the sofa playing on our phones while Allie came in, puffy-eyed, with her new sketchbook tucked under her arm. "Dad, did you tear out my picture?" she asked with a strange look on her face. "What picture?" I asked. "That was me," Julie offered. "You spent your whole night drawing that nasty little thing, and it gave you nightmares. You should draw something pretty, Allie, especially at night." Allie rolled her eyes and whined. "Mom, don't do that. Ruckus is a part of my story, and I need him." "Fine," Julie countered. "Just watch what kind of scary monsters you work on at night before bed. It keeps us up all night." "Yeah, Mom." Julie and I continued to play on our phones for a while before she stood up and asked if anyone wanted breakfast. My stomach grumbled at the notion, and I raised my hand. Allie didn't even respond. She just kept scratching on her sheet. Julie shrugged and went to the kitchen. "Honey," she called. I'd gotten up to go see what it was that Allie was working on, hoping it wasn't a replacement ruckus, but knowing that it was. "Yeah? Where's the chef's knife?" "Hmm?" I asked, not really hearing her as I went to stand over Allie's shoulder. For the second time in less than a day, my blood went cold. There was another picture of Ruckus, the eater of children, only this version was impossibly well-detailed. And while Allie was skilled, she was only still 10, after all, and this one was almost photorealistic. And this was impossible. Even someone with the advanced skills necessary to draw this would have taken many hours over the span of days, not however long it took to drink 2 cups of coffee. Worse, it dawned on me as I looked closer that Ruckus was in color, although Allie was only using black. And there was something else. The first Ruckus had been naked, that I was sure. His gnarled skin had seemed to shine from the way it had been shaded. This Ruckus wore a pink Gorman Elementary Wildcats t-shirt that had been torn and stretched into kind of like a tunic. And in his hand, he held a butcher knife. "Allie, why did you draw that? How?" My words were cut off by a scream and a crash from the kitchen. I scrambled through the living room and I turned the corner to see the impossible. Julie, my wife, my best friend, sat on the floor, her hand pressed to a gash in her throat. She tried to stem the flow of blood, but it poured between her fingers as her white eyes twitched in their sockets, eyes that finally found mine in a final shocked plea for help. I stood transfixed, paralyzed, in my pajama shorts and world's greatest dad shirt. I could not process what I had just seen. Then a searing pain ripped through the back of my knee, and I fell screaming into a pool of my wife's blood. I rolled over to see Ruckus, the original black and white monster from the night before, standing over me, holding our kitchen knife. He was bigger than the picture, but all details, especially the teeth and the claws, were the same. He made sort of a hissing sound as he rounded on me, lifting the knife to take another blow. I raised my arm weakly to try to block as he brought it down. Pain exploded in my forearm as the blade slid between the bones. Blood sprayed onto my face, and I had the odd sensation of being dragged as the impossible beast tugged at the knife, trying to pull it free. "Don't you hurt my daddy!" Allie screamed, finally having broken out of her trance. Ruckus stopped tugging at the knife and turned around. Allie held the crumpled piece of paper that Julie had torn from the book and thrown away. Ruckus froze and put his hands up, willing her to stop whatever it was she was about to do. She looked at the beast with hatred in her eyes, then tore the page in half. Ruckus screamed as his left side came apart from his right. The two halves writhed on the floor as Allie laid the pieces together and tore them in half again and then again. With each rend, the creature screamed louder and separated into more parts. But he did not stop, and he did not go away. Allie began to panic, the sights and sounds finally catching up with her. "Allie," I screamed, "the fire." Allie looked to the side and noticed the blue gas flames on the stoves that Julia lit just a few minutes before. She shoved the pieces into the fire, and Ruckus's screaming intensified as his parts slowly turned to ash. I slipped through the pool of blood, trying to stand up to do anything that I could, but I couldn't. The last thing I remember before everything went black is seeing Allie picking up the phone to dial 911 and horrified to see the new Ruckus walking to the kitchen behind her.
No.
Ooh. Ooh.
That was great. You know, normally they give us such a small little tease that, you know, there's like no blood and guts and stuff. So yay for blood and guts. I love it.
We like it. Of course, this is the part in the show during which Xtina will now shamelessly beg for a free copy. So you've been warned, William. It's coming.
Definitely.
It's coming.
And when you make it out, it's XTINA.
I'll send you one.
Don't encourage her. Don't. She's terrible.
I mean,
terrible.
It is my birthday. It is my birthday month. I mean,
you have to play the birthday card. I mean, that's it. She's going to wheel that out all month. Absolutely. It's just a shameless woman. Shameless.
Yay. I love that story. I'm the dark poet princess, and I have a couple of interesting poems about like little creepy. Well, this isn't really the little girl doing anything, but in my stories, it's a creepy little girl killing people, and you know, because little girls are creepy, they really. Well, at least they're evil. I don't know about creepy, but they are evil. So.
Well, I have two little girls, and I mean. I live normal dad life for the most part, but I'm also a kid of the 80s where everything is scary and you can't trust anything. But I like, because I'm in the room right now where we're talking, and this is the room where I write in because everybody's gone to bed and I'm sitting here writing. And my little girl, my younger one, her bed's against this wall over here. And so every now and then I'll be writing a monster story and I'll be in the zone. And she'll roll over and maybe her knee will hit the wall, but I'm just sitting here being like, okay, there's a monster in the shadows, and then boom, and I'm just like jump out of my skin, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm obviously doing something right because I'm scared.
Yeah.
But damn it, there's kids in here and they're freaking me out.
Yes, yes. You know, I do have a cool story I've told before on the show about my son. I have two kids and they're like, you know, 5-6 years apart. So it was a kind of age gap there. And when they were younger, they shared a room because, you know, we didn't have a lot of money and, you know, 2-bedroom. Anyway, I was in there one time and trying to tell her to be quiet. She's the older sister, you know, so she was whatever age her brother was about, I want to say 3 or 4. And she's being loud. I'm trying to tell her to be quiet. And she goes, oh, don't worry. He won't wake up. And she grabs him by the ankles and she yanks and he falls out of bed, hits the floor and nothing. He just keeps sleeping. So, you know, I don't know. Kids are creepy, you know what I mean? And I always think to myself that she had to have done this before to know that it would not wake him up. You know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, kids are great. You know, I'm glad mine are older now. I am glad about that. I keep, you know, I'm also belong to a couple groups on Facebook with moms, you know, moms, and they're always talking about how they dread when their kids get older and move out and stuff. And you know what? I'm kind of excited about it. I'm like, my son now is the baby is now 18. Oh no, sorry, 17, almost 18, and I'm getting excited. I'm like, yes, you know. So I still want him to visit often, but it'll be nice. It will be.
I love my children very much, and I always want them to come home. I just don't want them to necessarily, you know, like bang on the wall when I'm trying to write scary stories, right? Like, I'm joking, like, hey, what's for dinner? I have to tell them, like, food. Like, that's not an answer. I'm like, oh, no, it is a food. It is an answer, because otherwise you're going to be judgmental. You're going to be like, I don't like, you know, steak. You're like, well, I'm sorry. Like, that's what's for dinner. Sorry.
Yeah.
But, no, I really appreciate you guys reaching out to me. As far as writing scary stories and just horror in general, it's an honor to be welcomed on and to get to talk about your stories, and you know, that was just one for me. I'm very, like I said, I'm very 80s baby. Everything was very scary. Even if it wasn't a scary story or book or movie, they just had those moments where it's like, okay, well, here in the middle of Pee Wee's Big Adventure, we're just going to like drop a ghost story on you right in the middle of it. And you're like, oh. And so that to me, that's where I live. It's like,
yeah.
I listened to a few of your shows over the last several days, and I can happily say, and because I love all stories, and if you write me a story, I'm going to read that story. I love horror in all of its ways. I am very much I like monsters. You know, I don't need you to believe in them. I don't need you to, archaeologically tell me if they're real or not. I like scary monsters. I like them better if you can't explain them. I like vicious children. I like anger and death and murder in story because, you know, I think with the advent of the internet, we've gotten away from just like look at a movie like The Gate, for example. It's like, oh, there's a hole in the backyard. Oh,
yes,
shit,
that movie was so
I remember that.
So
yeah.
Scary.
There's
film.
Demons coming out of it for no like they're all like, oh crap. There's nothing mom and dad would have been able to do. Like there's demons coming out of there. There's you're like, you're screwed.
That was great.
And you don't have to have this strange conversation about, you know, the status of the church these days. It's just like there's monsters. And we have to deal with it. And so, like, I love those kind of stories. Those are the kind of stories that I write, and they're usually pretty mean and violent, and that's okay. But that's what I do.
From a young age, I have always loved horror as well. And then, when I discovered my love of reading, it was just at the time when, like, you know, it seems like there had not been a whole lot of, younger, like maybe middle school age, high school age books, out there, like scary ones. I think, you know, we had Christopher Pike. I loved him when I was younger. He was like I loved him. And then, you know, I got a little older and I graduated to like Stephen King and, is that your McDonald's cup, James?
It was, yeah. You heard that. I just finished off my McDonald's drink there, yeah.
and John Saul, definitely, I think that, you know, the 80s and the early 90s were, like, you know, such a great time for horror. I mean, there definitely was. You can make anything scary. And even when you're talking about having, you know, these girls over to the house and I remember being, you know, they're probably younger than I was then, but like the sleepovers and you watch a scary movie and then, you know, tell ghost stories until like 2 o'clock in the morning. Then like, you know, you couldn't even get up to go to the bathroom by yourself because you were so freaking terrified. And, you know, it does seem like now with, you know, the everything's online and then the movies, you've seen it all. So it's like there's not a whole lot that's new. There's not a whole lot that's as scary anymore. I mean, man, when we were younger, Friday the 13th was amazing. You know, and Nightmare on Elm Street, they were so much fun. And, you know, I don't know. I think that the scary movies just aren't as fun anymore. I keep
totally
hoping.
Agree. But well, you know, yeah. I'm doing the best I can to bring that back. You know, like with stories and with networking and with just like different avenues. Because yeah, I mean, I don't like sympathetic monsters. And as bad as it sounds, like, I mean, I don't know where that came from. I could probably figure it out if I looked. You know, but it's like, even in like Jason versus Freddy, it's like, okay, well, Jason's the good guy in this. Like, Jason's not a good guy. You can't make
it's
him
true,
sympathetic.
Yeah.
That dude just walked around for the last 25 years just stabbing people for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, you can't make him a good guy. Like, sometimes there's two bad guys. And maybe they have a story, but you can't, you know, but like, you can't redeem sometimes. Because if you do, they're not scary anymore. And
definitely,
this is we're in the horror genre, so we want to be scary. I want you to care, but I really appreciate you guys having me on. It was so much fun.
Definitely, definitely. I was going to say, we definitely have to do this again. Maybe we should get a cool, James, I'm thinking about our Halloween, you know, October, you know, episodes here. We
absolutely
definitely have to get some really awesome, you know, scary authors on to talk just horror.
Oh, yeah.
all night long. It'd be a lot of fun. So, William, you have to promise to come back.
I promise I'll come back. Yay. Let's do it.
Awesome.
Brilliant.
And
brilliant.
All of our listeners, yes, out there, if any, you know, go out and buy A Trick of the Light by William Stewart. And, I can't wait to have you back. This was so much fun.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. And now you get to go back to the hell that is. I have a young daughter as well, so I do empathise. You can go back to the hell that is little girls. Good luck with you.
Thank you, William.
I'll take care of it. Thank you so much.
Okay. Have a good one. Okay. Bye bye.
You too. Good night.
Bye. Yeah, I know his pain. I've had a house full of little girls, and they're awful. You know, my son was no bother. My girls are just nasty, horrible, horrible things. But anywho, time to crack open another box of YNXD. We'll be right back.
Panic Room Radio Show is brought to you by Hellbound Books Publishing, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher, along with links to all of their available works across platforms, at hellboundbookspublishing.com. In the mood for something steamy to read? Check out erotica author Jennifer Lynn at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James and Xtina at their respective websites, jameslongmore.com for James and darkpoetprincess.com for Xtina. Don't forget to follow The Panic Room on social media, Facebook unofficial, The Panic Room Radio Show, our Vimeo channel with all of our previous shows, the new Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website, www.panicroomradio.com.
Well, all right, so I'm being foolish. Well, all right, let people know about the dreams and wishes you wish in the night when lights are low. Well, all right, well, all right, well, we will live and love with all our might. Well, all right, well, all right, our lifetime love will be all right. Well, all right, so I'm going steady. It's all right when people say that those foolish kids can't be ready for the love that comes their way. Well, all right, well, all right, we will live and love with all our might. Well, all right, our lifetime love will be all right. Well, all right, well, all right, our lifetime love will be all right.
Duh! Welcome back to part two.
back. Are you back, Christina? You've turned up again. You know, it's always a bonus. Always a bonus when you make the effort, you know. But so yeah, it's a fantastic speaking to William there. You know, he's right. There's far too much exposition these days. Oh, they've got to have a backstory. There's got to be a reason. They've got to be, And I'm with him sometimes. I mean, you know, you've read some of my stuff, and sometimes it's just because. You know, I just like... Just because. You don't have to. It just is, you know, and sometimes they're the best stories. And I'm with him. I like the monsters. I like, you know, like Jaws, you know. It's a mindless eating machine. It's a shark. It's got no rationale. It's got no ulterior motive. It's feeding. That's it. You can't, you know, you can't talk to it. You can't, you know.
Yeah,
right. You can't talk your way out of being eaten. Same with Alien. I think that's why Alien grit moviegoers, because it was just there. It wasn't something you could try and, you know, rationalize with. It was just it was going to kill you, and that's the sort of thing. You know, the first Hellraiser movie. You know, the Cenobites were just. They existed to do what they did, and they started doing backstories and stuff. And for me, it spoilt a bit of a mystique for me. You know, I like the idea that they've always been that they transcend time and space, and you know that works on so many levels for me because there's just that facing the mindless, you know, death machine that is just so terrifying. You know, you can't, nothing, just that feeling of helplessness, you know. So, but
Definitely.
Well, we're actually putting together anthology. Monsters. It's just monsters, and it could be monsters, as William was saying, a big, huge monster lurking under the hill, or it could be, you know, the sweet young couple next door who are, you know, murdering prostitutes at the weekend, you know. So there's the whole, you know, a monster is a monster, you know. And like you say, yeah, I mean, the whole Freddy and Jason thing, I mean, to be Nightmare on Stream, you're right, was brilliant. Even the remake was pretty damn, as remakes go, was probably one of the best remakes of 80s horror movies so far.
I'm not
going to mention Pet Sematary and Poltergeist again, but they were just awful. terrible. You know, but again, great. But he was just a nasty, you know. And then they turned him into like a pop culture figure and a figure of fun. At the end of it, he was a child killer. You know, he was a child murderer, and you know, it'd be like trying to turn Jeffrey Dahmer into a pop culture figure. You know, making him, you know, he's a bit of a you know, wisecracking, decent sort of bloke, really. You know, or focusing on John Wayne Gacy's clown routine. It's just, you know, these people, these things, they are monsters, and I like that they're monsters. That's what makes them fascinating. Oh, and by the way,
speaking.
There you go. It's all gone now. So I had to have dinner on the fly because I was doing, you know, chauffeur duty for the princess. So it was funny a while ago. She said to me, "Daddy, you should become an Uber driver, and then you could drive me around and make money." So what kind of warped logic is that? How are you going to put? Well, you'll give me money, and I think at that point the penny dropped, and she saw just how circular that was. But it'd be great. But I'm pretty much unpaid Uber driver for at the moment.
So, you know, I think I've mentioned before on the show that my daughter, she, you know, 23, she was living back at home, but now her boyfriend is back in town, and they've been kind of, you know, shacking up there at his place, and which is cool because, you know, the house is quiet now and stuff. And but it's funny that both of the children now, for some reason, think, you know, they can come and go as they please, and they don't really have to, you know, tell us too much about what, you know, they're doing or anything, and that's great. But I think they actually expect us to just sit at home and wait for them. Like if we decide, hey, let's go do dinner, let's go do this or that, and they act appalled that we actually have a life, and it's pretty funny. It is, you know, but they don't give us any thought at all if they're going to go do something.
No.
They just go do it. But God forbid the parents.
That's it. Yeah, you have to sit there and do nothing until you're needed. Yeah.
And I'm like, you're cute. You're so cute.
Yeah, but no.
Yeah, so my son likes to call us monsters. You're monsters. Like, yeah, I guess we are. So maybe he can write a short story about us, you know, but the monster
there you go.
Runs there. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
well,
I think I mentioned.
Go ahead.
I was
going to say,
my
son's 18 now, so he comes and goes and as he pleases. Obviously, my daughter's still young enough that I have to ferry around and do stuff and what have you. But, you know, they do get independent. But like you say, you know, then you get to the point where, right, I can have a bit of a life now. And then, you know, like you say, suddenly you're the monster. Because, you know, I'm sort of dipping my toe, and this is not a kinky sex thing. Well, worth thinking about. Tipping my toe into the dating sort of scene now. Obviously, COVID's lifting and what have you. And my daughter is absolutely appalled. Why, Dad? You just know you're far too old for that sort of thing. Thanks, kid. Thank you. Thanks for that. That really boosts my confidence. Thank you, daughter.
Yes. You know, Sean will be in the room at 17, and he'll just go, you guys are the oldest people I know. And how insulting can he be? I mean, number
Absolutely.
One, I'm not that old. So,
well, I mean,
to be fair,
Xtina, you're no spring chicken, are you, to be honest with you? Let's not fool ourselves here, but...
That's true, but you will always be older than me.
Touché.
Yes,
I will. Yes.
So I'm okay with that. Yeah, no, I'm okay with my age. I've never been one to lie about it or anything, but it is funny that he thinks we're like so old. He'll ask us questions about, you know, that was in color back then or, you know, something like that. I'm like, how old do you think we are? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, the running joke in our house is that I am so old, I used to have pet dinosaurs.
yeah, we've heard that one too.
As you get older, I'm with you. I'm quite comfortable, you know, being 28.
Yeah.
And you become less bothered about what other people think for a start.
Yeah,
you know, I used to, in my younger days, if somebody didn't like, it used to bug me. Now, couldn't care fucking less, to be honest. If you don't like me, it really doesn't impact on me whatsoever. It's very freeing, I have to say, very liberating. Mm-hmm. That it's just like, well, no, I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable in my own skin and who I am and what I am.
Yeah.
And if somebody doesn't like it, well, that's on them, to be honest with you, you know. But I like that. I like that. But if only we knew we had that wisdom, like in our 20s, that would have been pretty cool.
You know, I accidentally posted something last week or something, I think it was. And when I realized I had actually posted it, it wasn't even that bad. But I never talk political at all online at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I posted something and it had to do with guns. And when I saw somebody commented on it, I'm like, well, that's weird. I wonder what, because I didn't know this person really. So I'm like, let me go see what this comment is. And I look and, you know, pretty much cursing me out for having an opinion of my own. And I did take down the post because, like I said, I don't normally post political, so I don't even understand why I did it in the first place. Like, I was like, how did I let this slip through? But I went and looked at I lost like 3 friends over something that was up for about 10 minutes.
Wow.
I was like, are you?
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, and I'm just like, Yeah, I'm like, well, you know, whatever. And
well, as we like to say, you know, that's literally the trash taking itself out. You don't need people like that.
I had this one girl on my friends list for years. Talked to her a little bit here and there. But I noticed she was no longer a friend of mine. And I was like, wow, I wonder, wonder when that happened. And literally, I was just like, whatever. You know, I mean, I think I'm at that age where if you don't like me, you don't like me. I don't really care, you know. I mean, it doesn't hurt me any, so... Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
it's a good age. People take a pop at me every now and then. It's like the only time I get defensive is if somebody takes a pop at our business, because that's our business.
Exactly.
Nobody fucks with Hellbound Books at all ever, because they've tried, and some may be listening tonight and hey guys, you know, thoughts and prayers, but you know, they've tried and they've failed, and that because, you know, there are a lot of people involved in our business. You know, there's our authors and our editors and our artists, and there's us and, you know, the inner circle. But all these people, and it is, you know, it's a livelihood and it's what we do, and people taking unfair pot shots because of, like you say, something we may have said or just somebody's wound them up or whatever, that's not on. That's the only time I will come out literally all guns blazing. But
swinging,
absolutely. Although sometimes, you know, you've seen it, sometimes if I'm bored or in a belligerent mood, I'll post something I know damn well is going to cause. Although I did that once, I posted something and nobody rose to it. I was gutted. Not one person. I thought this is bound to get people rattled. Nothing.
I hit the button to get the notifications and everything. I was gonna watch and I was disappointed. Yeah.
All day I kept checking in. Nothing. And, oh well, you know, so I'm not bothered next time. Anywho. So we've got another guest, I presume. Who is it? Let's get him on.
All right. For our second guest of the evening, we have horror author Stephen Bazidlo. Woo!
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Stephen. How are you doing? Hello.
Oh, peachy. I can't help but notice that is a repeated exact applause of the last guy. I'm beginning to think this isn't a live audience here.
No, it's just they're very consistent, I have to say. Very consistent. And not a recording in any way, I promise.
Very move for the move.
Do you know, it's funny actually, you should say that. I, as a kid, we used to listen to the Top 40 show in England. I mean, then those days, I think it was the Top 20 on a Sunday. So we just have the radio on, because I had an older sister, she's big into pop music and all the rest of it. And I honestly, genuinely believe that every band and singer was in the studio to perform their song. Seriously, for years, I thought, how did they get them all in the studio? This is amazing.
Right.
You know, and how did he move one band out and get the next one in so quickly? It was just... And then when I found out, it was gutting, I have to say.
In their defense, though, I worked in a theater for about 2 years, and we did a lot of things in a span of like 30 seconds that shouldn't have been possible. So, I mean, it could be possible. It could have been possible.
No, there you go. Maybe so. Maybe so. But I think perhaps, perhaps maybe not.
Right.
Be like our crew here in the studio, you know? moving on.
Right. I was going to say I was very impressed with myself for getting his last name right. Now he did kind of, you know, exactly tell me how to say it, but I still did a smashing job, I believe. I do give myself a and Bazidlo, that is so great of a name. I think that, you know,
well,
we need to write that into a story.
Bazidlo,
yes.
here's the thing. Bezidlo is the English pronunciation of it. The uh-huh. Polish pronunciation of it is Bozidła. So
wow.
Don't even if I had said give me the Polish pronunciation, I doubt that would have happened. But I go by Stephen Bezidlo.
I it's interesting the pronunciation though. Yeah, I would have never. You know what? It's been so much fun though. James used to introduce the guests, and I would have a lot of fun getting him to pronounce a really, you know,
name. Every time. You should get me every time.
In my line
of
work.
So now he makes me.
No, in my line of work, I see the weirdest names all the time for customer tickets and stuff. So I'm the guy that usually makes the phone calls because I can usually pronounce the weirdest looking names because I understand that certain last names are certain cultures, which means that certain letters make certain noises. And it confuses the hell out of my one coworker because he's like, how the hell do you know how to pronounce that? I'm like, you grow up in a family that doesn't have any freaking vowels or consonants sometimes, you learn to say words.
Definitely. James makes me do it now, and I just cheat. I ask beforehand most of the time if it's something I think I'm going to struggle with. And sometimes even then I do an awful job. So, but it's I guess it's funnier when I do it maybe, or he can laugh at me. I don't know what it is, but he makes me do it now.
I'll screw with people sometimes. I'll be like, it's spelled this way, but it's pronounced like Patrick. Or some shit.
I remember I got my mom one time, you know that joke with if you say green beans really slowly, it sounds like gullible. So she was trying it. She was going really slow and she's like, you ass. So I think that's it's great.
Excellent.
It didn't get me at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Stephen,
we figured out who the
gullible
person. Oh, sorry.
As you say,
gullible a person was by how close they could get a head of a sledgehammer next to their face before they realized, oh, this ain't going to work for me. And smack themselves in the face with a hammer.
Ow. That's awful.
I was trained to be a welder. So we used to do really horrible friggin' things to each other. But there's something that we used to do for a strength test, and it's basically you take a sledgehammer and you hold it outright, and then you try to touch your nose with the head of it by not bending your elbow. And I don't know if you ever tried doing that, but if you don't have extreme wrist strength, you're going to break your nose.
Yeah.
I have to say no. I've never tried that. Nor would I.
This is why women live longer than men. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could be right.
So Stephen, you're here to talk to us about the book Darkest End, with a tagline Darkest End. New beginning. Tell us a little bit about it.
All right. So I'm horrible at describing things. I've reread this damn book probably 30 times during my edits and everything, and I still have trouble explaining it to people. All right. So basically, I don't use character names for any main characters in any of my stories. It's just how I write. The only things that have names or descriptive names are the villains, the monsters, and whatever creepy crawly I have. So,
interesting.
Bear with me. Darkest End follows the main storyline of the quote-unquote main character, who we'll just call Bob for right now. Now, Bob's story started off before the whole events of the book, and he's the one that's trying to head east in order to figure out what the hell's going on, because the whole world's going to hell. There's monster mannequins. There's these creatures that are kind of like a mix of something from Silent Hill and the movie The Thing. Let's see here. There's mushroom people, demons, all sorts of gobbledygook in there. In order to, the thing is that it's the first book of possibly a 2 or 3 book series. So there's a lot of stuff in there that doesn't quite make sense yet, but it will in the next book. But, yeah. Anyway, we're following the main character. I've had a lot of head injuries. I tend to go off on descriptions way too much. We follow the main character. He eventually meets up with our secondary main character, who is a female who's been working in a retirement home, basically. And there's monsters that happen to attack there. They end up meeting up with a third character, who is also a former police officer. And they're all heading east in order to figure out what is causing everything to go to hell. Pretty much the new god has decided it is time to cast a stone and restart humanity, pretty much. Wow. If that, simply because he didn't get his own goddamn way. So he's trying to destroy the world and just erase everything. And he's also trying to find a new vessel so that he can be reborn on Earth so that the survivors can basically be his worshippers on Earth and be a god on Earth.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I'm horrible at describing things. But
No. I'm definitely listening, and sounds like there's a lot going on there. What was your inspiration?
Well, honestly, all of it started off was from a dream that I had 13 or 14 years ago when I was in high school.
Wow.
About this dude going camping with his girlfriend, and he went off to go get some firewood, and he ends up pushing one of these creatures away, gets like this slimy shit on him, on his arms, runs back and finds one of the creatures dissolving his girlfriend into itself, and creating like this cocoon type of thing. Going to a hospital, seeing a whole bunch of other people that were partially mutated and all sorts of other stuff. And I wrote a short story for it, and I basically just forgot about it for 15 years and decided, maybe I'm going to revisit a few things. Because at that point, I had already published my first 2 books that I kind of only wrote because I have PTSD. And I have horrible night terrors and nightmares and hallucinations and shit caused by PTSD, conversion disorder, anxiety, and depression. So all my short stories are in their own series. But this was my first full narrative to attack. And, I don't really know what else to say. I really don't. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, you're fine. I think we have a short clip to read or to play of the an excerpt.
Yeah, we do.
James. Yeah.
Oh,
yes. James.
Yes, by George.
I have the page marked if absolutely need be. But okay, cool.
We have this. Yeah. Do you need to set it up, Stephen, or we just press the button?
All I did was send you the audio clip. I don't know what you guys had to do on your side.
No, I know what I need to do. Do you? Fine, okay, I'm going to press the play button and we'll see what we've got.
The boy woke up, obviously scared, but I felt it was still necessary. He did not know who brought him here. I had Jack wheel over the child's punishment, a large meat slicer. I was going to punish him in a way of old civilizations by taking his hand. The twist I'm sure he wouldn't enjoy. I sat in the adjacent room and relished for hours hearing the periodic slide and cry followed by chewing. This gave me plenty of time to understand I cannot just let him go, but I gave my word that I wouldn't kill him. contemplating what I should do with him. I knew he didn't deserve the honor of becoming a part of one of my mannequins. You can't have a good product with shit components now, can you? I flipped through the ancient tomb before stopping at exactly what I was looking for. I wasn't going to kill him, but a visage of a creature popped into my head. He would become an experiment for a flesh golem.
Short but sweet. Are we back? Did I,
No, we are back.
Yeah,
I was hoping for a lot more. That was good.
I'm not used to this. This is literally the first thing, or the first time I've been on a radio show about my book other than the weekly podcast that I do. So I don't really know how long the excerpt should have been.
No,
it is
weird. I mean, we've been on other people's podcasts as well, and being a guest is sort of, it is weird. I mean, I enjoy it actually because, you know, I don't have to think about pressing buttons and shit, but it is, you know, when you used to. So what's your podcast about, Stephen?
Basically the podcast that we do is through TCT Comics, the people that I publish through.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unrestricted podcast that we just kind of pop on. We have Zeehill, who's the owner, Beatrix, who's also a co-owner, but they have their own comic book series and all that kind of stuff. And basically we go through and we just do like a quick update type of thing. We talk with the fans for a little bit and we give updates on where each of us are on whatever project we're working on. And then it devolves usually into immature jokes for about an hour and a half.
That's awesome.
That's the best bit.
I shit you not, we had a conversation for about 20 minutes about the size, like how whales have sex. Okay. There is a new section to the show that they're adding on called Baz Knows. Baz being me, because every time we have a show, I have an innate knowledge on stupid bullshit.
Nice.
People will ask a question and then I will think it out and I will find a logical way for it to work. That's
nice.
How it works. But
in our first couple of years doing our show, I don't even know if it was the first couple of years, but anyway, we used to have a segment called Fruit Fly Corner that James would fill us in on some fruit fly facts. I miss those. We need highlights of the fruit fly.
We do get people asking us to bring back Fruit Fly Corner. It was always a fascinating fact about fruit flies. So, you know.
Very, very, very quickly for a baseball corner, James, I will say that the Blue Jays are doing horribly this year. So there's
good,
that.
Good. That's right.
No, that's awful. I love them. But I still watch. I'm just a glutton for punishment. We can be, you know, we're in the lead until the seventh inning. I'm so excited. And I'm like, I don't know why, because there's still time for them to fuck it up. And most of the time, they end up fucking it up. So there's that. But I still watch. one of these years, it's going to be our year. I can feel it. Just not this one.
So I'm bored now. Really bored.
I'm sorry. Baseball is the only sport that you can play while fucking sleeping, as far as I'm concerned.
It's actually better to watch it while you're sleeping as well. And speaking, I grew up around cricket, and cricket is just
I've taken a baseball bat to the head. Trust me, that's probably the most entertaining portion that you'll see in a baseball game is when somebody finally snaps.
I've
taken a baseball bat to the head, and it's not a fun experience.
I can imagine. So how did, if you don't mind me asking, how did that come about?
There was a slight mishap of me jumping off of a playset in the backyard while my sister was playing practicing T-ball.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
I landed in front of the T-ball thingy, and my mm-hmm. parents heard the crack of the bat across my head from 60 feet away.
Ouch.
It explains a lot.
So, Stephen, what are you working on now?
Currently, I just found a new editor because the last one I was not happy with. And the other one that did my second book, Abominable Tales, she is kind of busy at the moment, so she can't really get to it. So currently, Dreaded Tales, the third book in the, obviously, the Tales series here, is currently being edited. That one was made because I was sick and tired of Barnes & Noble. They would label my books as erotica, and I just kept on getting this image of some Stepford housewife, middle-aged blonde chick going, ooh, I just want to get my romantic cowboy thing on, and flipping through and going, ooh, is this like a break-in thing? And then reading that and going, oh my God. I mean, it's funny. But then I also think, well, maybe they might get an idea or two and, you know, kill their husband. I mean, my Google search history is kind of questionable at this point. My FBI agent's probably like, what the fuck, man? How to properly dispose of a body and not get caught? Yeah, that doesn't raise any red flags.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think that you know, writers especially, we have awful search histories. So I think that there should be some kind of sign we can hang up, or you know, something to make sure that people know this, so that you know, we're not framed for anything.
Here's the kicker: like almost none of my stories involve any sex-related stuff. Like, none of them, except for maybe three. So I'm just like, man, this is messed up. They labeled me erotica for there being swearing and violence.
Wow.
And I'm like, dude,
that's
horror.
Weird.
Where's your horror section?
Yeah.
I didn't have one. So I stopped dealing with Barnes & Noble because they also stiffed me on the money and books. And then blame me, even though they took the blame. I was like, what the fuck? But anyways, so I move over to Amazon, where all my stuff now comes out perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a horror section. So I'm like, okay, cool. It can at least be properly labeled.
Categorized.
I don't think anybody's searching the erotica section for horror. I mean, if you are, I mean, you know, to each their own. I mean, glasses half full, I guess. I mean, it just depends on what the glass is half full of.
Right.
Water's fine, but baby blood is also fine. You never know.
Oh, gosh. I think that we are almost out of time for our show tonight. It went by way too fast. And, you know, first of all, Stephen, you know, can you tell us real fast where we can find you online?
You can find me on Facebook, just under my regular Stephen Bazidlo. You can also find me on Twitter. Twitter as Mr. McSqueakums. Find me on YouTube as Beef 200. And you can also find me on the TCT Comics podcast as Baz's Twisted Mind.
Awesome, awesome. Perfect. And you have to promise to come back to our show.
Oh yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
Yay!
Hopefully
next
adult.
Time I will be a little less nervous so that I can better explain things.
If you don't mind, we're gonna pinch that tagline for the show's website. You know, the Panic Room. I don't have a problem with it. It's fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you for the soundbite.
I love
no,
it.
No, no,
I do.
I'm sorry. I hate to make it sound like that.
No.
I really do. I'm just God damn it.
Oh, no. No, brilliant. No, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure. Now, I'm pleased we've taken your podcast virginity, as it were.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
well,
fun.
You know, you could have at least taken me out for dinner first, you know, buttered me up a little bit, literally, if you wanted. That could have been fun, too. But, you know,
well, you should have negotiated that first,
time.
You see. We now know you're easy, so, you know.
There is always next time.
Hey, had I known that one of you guys could have slathered me in butter beforehand, I would have definitely signed up for that, man.
Well, next time.
You can't really say no to that.
Thank you so much, Stephen. Thank you so much.
You.
I can't wait to have you back.
Okay. Have a great rest of your evening.
Anytime.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye.
Well, time, you know, it just flies by. It's just beaten us yet again. It is, I'm afraid. It is time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight.
Chez toi.